the weekly message from Northwest Community Church in Tampa, Florida. Pastor Scott Collins brings you the message.
Last week I started a new series called Stuck in a Rut, and this series is to help us, I think, to grow emotionally. And I know we don't deal a lot with our emotional state or where we are, but what I've seen throughout the years is a lot of people get stuck. They get stuck spiritually, which then affects them emotionally, and they kind of get stuck in this rut. And as I said last week, a rut is nothing more than a grave with both ends kicked out. That's all it is. It's you're existing, but you're not living. You're here, and you're going through the motions. And so when you get stuck, what I want to talk about today is how to grow again, how to really, you know, get out of that rut, how to start your life on the right direction and get back on track where you need to be. And last week, I talked about loss. And loss is something that we all experience. Every one of us have experienced loss our whole lives, you know, from the time we're little children up till the present day. We experience different types of loss in different forms. And the problem is that loss always brings pain. Loss brings pain. And the problem is that we don't really know how to deal with pain. It's symptomatic. And so since we don't know how to deal with our pain, we look for ways, we struggle, we fight. And the truth is God wants to teach us. I mean, if you go all the way back to Adam and Eve, when God created Adam and Eve and lived in perfect harmony and fellowship with them in the garden, they didn't experience any loss. There was no loss in that intimacy, in that fellowship, in that walk. And therefore, they had no pain. So they were created without the ability to suffer loss. I mean, death wasn't a reality. They were supposed to live forever together in the presence of God. I don't believe they were wired with the capacity to experience death because it was a byproduct of sin. It wasn't a part of the original creation. And so death came as an act. But when that death came, it came and brought separation. Loss, pain. I mean, a lot of it. And I don't believe they were equipped to handle that. And so I think it's critical for us as we grow is to learn how to handle our loss, how to handle our pain, how to deal with it in a way that honors God. And because we live in a broken world, tainted by sin, I believe that as people, we usually tend to swing from extremes. And I talked about that last week, about being like a pendulum. You know, you see that in everything. One of the extreme ways to see that is in churches. You have churches that are just all about what you feel, and then you have churches that are all about what you know. And the key is to find the balance, you know. In everything in life, we tend to have these tendencies to swing. We're people of a pendulum. And I think the same thing happens to us emotionally, where we swing from two extremes. We either stuff all of our emotions so far down that we don't even realize they're there. We're stuffers. Or we go over it and over it and over it in our head, fixating on our pain. So we're either obsessing, which then consumes us, or we're oblivious because we've stuffed it down that we don't realize that we have any pain. And both are extremely unhealthy. They're not healthy for us as believers to not know where we are or why we feel the way we feel or how we're responding and why. And so I think that this is a integral part of our lives. And I really am hoping that through this, you'll take some steps to really work on where you are. So I think that we should all start as believers by evaluating ourselves. That's where it starts. And if you're going to go somewhere, you have to know where you are first. So, okay, where am I emotionally? How healthy am I? Do I stuff everything down until it spews all over the place? Am I that kind of person that stuffs and stuffs and stuffs, and then all of a sudden, bam, it's everywhere? Or am I the kind of person who has a hurt or a pain and fixates and just obsesses over it over and over? All they keep thinking about is that hurt, that pain, what you said, what you did, and it just drives you crazy. Both extremes, like I said, are very unhealthy. So we should start by looking at and evaluating even our interactions with other people. When you're interacting with people, you have to step back and say, what do I feel? And why do I feel this way? What do I feel and why do I feel this way? And if you're not familiar with feelings, which a lot of guys, they don't even know what they feel. They've stuffed for so long that you ask them, do you feel sad? Nope. Do you feel joy? Nope. They don't even know. It's like they're numb. And there are a lot of people who are walking through this life just numb to what they feel. So it's important to lay that foundation to understand what you're feeling and why. So let's say I'm having a conversation with somebody. I'm talking to a friend and we're in this conversation and we're interacting. And then he says something that was kind of underhanded. You know, he attacks my character. And then, you know, I can feel the tension rising up inside. So I have to evaluate, okay, where's that coming from? What am I feeling right now and why? And that word or that phrase might have been attached to something in the past where I was attacked or hurt or somebody else did something to me. Because our emotions are always attacked. They're attached to the way we were raised. They're attached to our relationships. They're attached to everything in our lives. There are what they call four different attachment styles even that affect the way we live and operate and the way we connect with people and don't connect. And that all happens in our formative years. In our first 4 years of life, in these formative years, these attachment styles are developed. And then when somebody says something, you can feel that tension rising, but you don't even know why. Like, why am I angry right now? What's happening? And that's when you've got to step back and say, you know, what am I feeling? Well, all I know is I'm feeling anger, but why? Well, maybe I feel rejected, or maybe I feel betrayed, and maybe that's tied to something. So you can evaluate where you are and why you're there. And if you do that, if you start asking yourself when you feel that tension, what am I feeling and why, you'll start laying the foundation to be able to move forward. And that's the goal, is that as believers, we learn to grow. How many people do you know that are 50 years old and they're 16 emotionally? I mean, think about it. I know people that are 50, 60, 70 years old, but emotionally, they're still 14, 15, 16 years old. No confessions over there, Jose. they get stuck emotionally because what happens is they've stifled so much, they've stuffed so much, they've never dealt with those emotions. So what happens, they get stuck. You see that a lot with people who've had tragedies, where literally they have an accident or a tragedy in their teen years, and then they fail to grow emotionally because they've been stifled. And so they might be 30, 40, 50 years old, but they still act like a 15-year-old or a 16-year-old. And you can see that in people's lives. And so I want us to learn how to deal with our hurt. So when somebody hurts you, if you just say to yourself, well, it doesn't matter. I don't care. That's what I used to do. You know, somebody would stab me in the back. Somebody would lie about me. Somebody would say something about my character. And I'd be like, I don't care. But that's not the truth. See, I would say I didn't care because I didn't feel it because I was stuffing it down. But the truth is I do care. Why? Because relationships matter to me. Because God cares about relationships. So if somebody hurts me and I say it doesn't matter, all I'm really doing is denying the truth. And it's the truth that sets you free. So when you live in denial, you don't change. You don't grow. So you have to deal with what's really going on and why. So that you're laying a healthy foundation for your growth. So that you're growing spiritually and emotionally. I believe that we should all be growing in every area of our life. Intellectually, we should be reading and challenging ourselves. Emotionally, we should be getting healthier as we go through life. And then spiritually, man, we should be on a continuous search for Christ to be like Him and love Him and know Him and take on His attributes and His character in our lives so people see Jesus in us. Because when you're not growing, you're dying. I mean, look around the world. Everything that is alive grows. And when it stops growing, it's dying. And I think that happens to us emotionally and spiritually. So I'm going to start with talking about how to handle my hurt. Because we get hurt and then we don't know what to do with it. Well, I'm going to make it really simple, all right? And I want to process this, and I want you to understand the first thing that we should do, and everybody knows this, but I don't think we often know how to do it, is to bring it to the Lord, right? You've got pain. Somebody hurt you. Somebody stabbed you. Somebody, said something off color, and it hurts your feelings. What do you do with that hurt? Well, the first thing you do is you don't run around to everybody else because that doesn't bring healing. I can't believe what so-and-so said. I can't believe what this person did. You know, and you just go on and on and on about what everybody did. That doesn't change anything. The only one who has the power to heal you and to help you up is the Lord. So the first thing you do is you bring it to Him. And I want to look at a couple passages that I believe set the foundation for us bringing this to God. 1 Peter chapter 5. Now, Peter has been writing about suffering. But there is more than just physical suffering. How many of you know that you can be abused emotionally? I mean, emotional abuse is just as nasty as physical abuse. When you look back in the Nazi war camps and some of the torture that they put these people, it wasn't just physical. There was emotional abuse that took place, stripping people of their character, of their thoughts, of their integrity. Emotional abuse is just as bad as physical abuse. You might not feel it, but it's destroying you internally. And so even though Peter is writing about suffering, I believe that that deals with where we are emotionally too, because some of us, we suffer emotionally. We're tormented by our own thoughts. Some of us can't get beyond our past. We're just stuck there. And it's like trying to drive down the road looking in the rearview mirror. The problem with that kind of lifestyle is you're never going to see where you're going. You can't really move forward if you're stuck in the past. So Peter says, clothe yourself, all of you, with humility toward one another. Now, humility, true humility, it's not even thinking of yourself. True humility is forgetting, not beating yourself down, not saying I'm nothing, but changing your perspective, changing your focus. It changes your perspective so that you're looking at the people around you. You're understanding that you're here for a reason and that your purpose is to touch these lives that God has placed around you. Your purpose is to bring glory and honor to His name. So your focus isn't no longer on yourself. Your focus is on God and the people that He's placed in your life. He says, clothe you. He's put this on. Because naturally we're what? You say it, selfish, right? Every one of us naturally are self-centered. So we have to start by putting on humility, that it's not about us. Clothe yourself, all of you, with humility toward one another. Means don't put yourself above somebody else. Don't think you're better than somebody else. God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, so that at the proper time, He may. So you're not picking yourself up. You're not building yourself up. You're not changing yourself, because you can't change yourself. I can't change me. Only God can change me from the inside out. Only God can help me to grow emotionally. Only God can help me to grow spiritually. So I have to submit myself to God and to acknowledge that He's put me here for a reason as I walk in humility, so that God is filling my life with grace. And then it says, cast all your anxieties or all your cares, all your, bring it all before the Lord. It's dropping to your knees and, Lord, man, this is driving me crazy. So I'm bringing it to You. I'm laying it at Your feet. I'm looking for Your help. He says, casting all your anxieties on Him because He cares for you. Having this understanding and this knowledge that no matter what happens in your life, that He is there and that His word is true. Do you believe this book? Really, really believe it? So that when bad things happen, do you really believe that all things work together? All things. I mean, even these horrible, painful circumstances, these situations, these losses, the pain that we experience, that God is using it. He is shaping us and molding us through our pain. You see, when you really believe this and you cling to it and you hold on to it, it changes your perspective, because you're no longer thinking about, oh man, my life's a wreck. I'm this. Because it's not about me. It's like, God, I'm just Your vessel. I'm here for You. Use me. Change me. Help me to be more like Jesus. God wants us to surrender ourselves to Him. And so Peter says, be sober-minded and watchful. Think about that. Sober-minded. Be clear in your thoughts. How do you do that? By taking your thoughts captive. Watchful. Be aware. Be alert. Know what's going on. Why? Because your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, seeking someone to devour. And some of us have been eaten up emotionally so bad that our lives are a wreck. We are either so codependent or we are independent and we don't know what it means to trust people. We've been broken down and beaten down. We've got so many issues that we can't even name them. And we're just struggling to make it to the next day. And God wants to heal us. He wants to change us. Resist Him, firm in your faith, knowing that the same kinds of sufferings are being experienced by your brotherhood throughout the world. Listen to me, even emotionally. The stuff that you're experiencing, you're not alone. You're not the only one who's been hurt. You're not the only one who's been lied to. You're not the only one who's been stabbed in the back. You're not the only one who's been talked about. You're not alone. But sometimes you feel so alone. When you feel alone, you have to remember that Jesus is always with you. I mean, the whole hope that He gave His disciples before He ascended, right? Matthew 28, go into all the world and make disciples. And how does He end that? Well, if you're a King James person, He says, lo, I am with you always. So if you're short, you're in good hands. But what He was saying is that I'm always with you. I will be with you through everything. Listen to me. I'm not going to pull you out of your trials. I'm not going to pull you out of your troubles. I'm not going to save you from them. But I will walk with you through them. I will walk with you hand in hand. I will pick you up when you fall down. I will always be with you. The promise in Hebrews 13:5, I will never forsake you. I will never leave you. He's always with us. So we resist the devil, we stand firm in our faith, knowing that our brothers and sisters are going through the same kind of stuff. The key is how we handle it. What do we do with it? We bring it to the Lord, and we lay it at His feet. God, I don't understand why I'm hurting. I mean, maybe I do. Maybe you do know why you're hurting. Maybe you feel rejected. You feel betrayed, and you understand that. So you bring that rejection, and you bring that betrayal to the Lord. Say, God, right now, I'm so unloved. I'm so betrayed. I feel so rejected. God, I need You to start a process of healing my heart because I want to be whole. I want You to heal my heart. So help me, Lord, to lay this at Your feet, to trust in You, to surrender myself to Your will. And then He says, and after you have suffered a little while, the God of all grace, who has called you to His eternal glory in Christ, will Himself restore, confirm, strengthen, and establish you. God will pick, when you lay it at His feet, when you trust Him, when you surrender it all, you don't got to fix it. You don't got to manipulate it. You don't got to work it. You just got to give it to Him. And when you really just lay it down, He will pick you up. And He'll start this process of healing your heart. He will restore you. He will confirm you. He will strengthen you and establish you in your walk. And then there's healing. Because there was this hurt, this stab, this tear. And then God heals it and He picks you up. And now your heart is stronger. And the next time you go through that experience, you remember. You reflect on what God has done for you, because He's the God of all grace. He doesn't give us what we deserve. Aren't you glad? Man, if I got what I deserved, I would have been dead a long time ago. But God is the God of all grace, who establishes us, and to Him be the dominion forever and ever. So the first thing you do is you bring your hurt, your pain to the Lord, and you surrender it. You lay it down at His feet. The second thing is you need to know how now to move forward. So how do you move forward? Once you bring this to the Lord and you surrendered it to Him, how do you actually start moving forward? How do you start becoming the man or the woman that God wants you to be? Well, first, if you want to move forward, you have to get out from under that pain. It doesn't just go away. See, that's the thing about us as people. When somebody hurt you and you acknowledge it, now it's real. Like you didn't stuff it where you didn't feel it, But once you start to acknowledge that and understand that pain, you don't want to be on the other extreme where you're obsessing over it, like over and over. Oh, this, I can't believe they did this to me. I can't believe they did this to me. I can't. You have to find that balance where you surrender it to the Lord, and then you see it for what it is. And then you have to deal with it. So how do you deal with it? Because you want healing. Well, this is tough. If it was easy, everybody would do it. You have to forgive the person who caused it. You have to learn to walk in forgiveness. And there are two things that I really need you to know. You can't grow spiritually until you learn to forgive. You get stuck. Without forgiving people, you get stuck emotionally. And second, you stop loving. You see, when you walk around with unforgiveness, you're not really loving the people in you, because all of a sudden you block the flow. Because God is love. God is love, right? He wants to fill you with himself. And then he wants to work through you. He wants to be the means, and you're the vessel. But when you stop forgiving people and you hold on to bitterness and you get angry and resentment, man, that stuff just chokes the life out of you. So let me start by defining forgiveness, because we need to understand what real forgiveness is. Forgiveness is the intentional and voluntary process by which a victim, somebody who's been hurt or abused, undergoes as they experience change in feelings and attitudes regarding an offense. So how do I do that? How do I change my attitude and my feelings? Well, first of all, your feelings come from your what? Say it with me. Thoughts. Your thoughts dictate what you feel. And then your feelings dictate how you behave. It's the process of think, feel, act. That's how we live our lives. Think, feel, act. So if you want to change your feelings and your attitude towards somebody, the first thing you have to do is bring it to God. You got to pray. That's why Jesus said, pray for those who persecute you. He said, love your enemies. Why? Because it'll change your perspective about somebody who's hurt you. You start praying for somebody who has beat you down, somebody who's abused you. You start praying for them every day, every hour. And all of a sudden, you'll start to love them. You won't hate them anymore. You'll start to care about them. You'll start to feel for them. You'll start to understand that hurt people hurt people. You have to learn to walk in forgiveness. Without it, you're stuck. You won't grow emotionally and you won't grow spiritually. And for this to happen, you must let go of those negative emotions that keep playing over and over in your head, thinking about vengeance, like you're thinking about getting even or what you can say. Man, you got to stop that. That's why you have to take your thoughts captive. You can't just mull over that stuff over and over, like, how do they say this to me? What do they do this for? How am I going to get them back? You got to let that go. You got to lay that down. If you're running those tapes over and over, you got to cut the tape. You got to cut the tape and put a new tape on. Because you need to have an increased ability to wish the offender well. So how do you do that? By praying for them and loving them. By really saying, God, I want what you want for this person. And I know there's some, man, there's some women in here that have been raped. There's some children in here that were abused and molested. There's a lot of real pain in this world. You say, well, it's not fair. God is the God of justice. If you believe this book, then you believe that he'll take care of all things. If you believe this, you believe that even the painful stuff, the bad stuff that God will use for your own good and for his glory, but you have to trust him. Some people said to me, Scott, man, that's just an unforgivable thing. I can't forgive them. No, and I said, no, it's not that you can't, it's that you won't. And see, there's a big difference between can't and won't. Won't means that you want to carry it around. You want to hold it against them for the rest of your life. But the truth is, holding on to it won't change anything. It won't change anything. Forgiving, though, is not forgetting. It's also not condoning the act that the person committed. It's freeing yourself. It's letting go of the right or the desire to get even, to pay them back. It's laying it down and letting it go. And you bring that to God every day, as much as you need to. Lord, help me to lay this down. Lord, they need you. God, I want to pray that you would open their eyes and save their heart, God. And you say, no, I want them to go to hell. Yeah, of course, that's you in your flesh. You in your flesh, you want them to be destroyed. You want them to be killed for what they did. But hurt people hurt people. Most abusers abuse because they've been abused. Look, it's a tough world out there. That's why Jesus said, in this world, you will have troubles. But take heart. Why? Because I've overcome the world. See, your hope isn't in yourself. It's not in holding on. It's in letting go. See, real hope is in letting go, and laying it down. And the faster you learn to do that, I mean like immediately. So when somebody offends you, bam, you lay it down. You forgive. And you learn to move forward. But if you hold on to that, it turns into bitterness and resentment. And unforgiveness is the greatest sin in the church. That's what I believe. Right now in our time and age, people will say, yeah, I love the Lord. And then you'll bring up something to somebody that did. Oh, man, I'll never forgive them. I'll never forgive them. You're like, well, then, you're not growing. You're not walking with the Lord. Because if you can't forgive somebody, you can't walk with Jesus. You might think you're in fellowship, but you're deceiving yourself. Ephesians 4:30 says, and do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God. Don't grieve him. Why? Because he is calling out to you. He is moving you to do what? To forgive. Do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God with whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Get rid of all bitterness, rage. Where do you think that stuff comes from? Stuffing all these emotions, bitterness, rage, anger, from holding on to your pain. That's where all that comes from. You hold on to it and you get angry, you get mad, ready to rip somebody's head off. Get rid of all bitterness, rage, and anger, brawling and slander, along with every form of malice. Be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other. And here's the kicker, just as. Man, if you went through this whole book and just circled all those just as. Just as Christ, just as in Christ, God forgave you. Just the same way. Man, how did God forgive you? He forgave you completely with no strings attached. He forgave you immediately. Man, Jesus hung on that cross. And as they had beat him and humiliated him and mocked him, blood is running down his body. He's naked. I mean, completely humiliated before the whole world. And his thought isn't for himself. His thought isn't, oh, God, save me. His thought is, Father, forgive them. For they know not what they do. You say, yeah, but the people who hurt me, they knew what they were doing. You think those soldiers didn't know what they were doing? But when he says they didn't know, they don't really know. They don't know the depth, the intent. When people hurt people, they're not sitting around plotting. Ooh, how am I going to get you? How am I going to hurt you? It's not like that. Forgiveness is the only thing that will free us from our past. You'll be bound to whatever event or circumstance or situation that devastated you until you let go. Until you completely lay it down and say, Lord, I'm done with that. Listen to me. He doesn't want you to carry it. He wants you to surrender it. He wants you to give it to him. Because when you try to hold on to it When you hold on to unforgiveness, man, you're trying to carry the weight of that sin, of that pain, of that hurt, and it's devastating you in every area of your life, and you might not even be aware of it. That's why Paul said, be imitators of God. So you have to do this. You have to forgive, because that's what God did. God forgave us. So he says, be imitators of God, therefore, as dearly loved children, and live a life of love. Remember, I told you, you won't grow and you won't love unless you learn to forgive, because they're connected together. Your growth and your forgiveness are tied to your ability to love, because God is love. And if you don't forgive the offender or the offense, if you don't lay it down and let it go, you'll be stuck spiritually and emotionally. You won't continue to grow. Be imitators of God, therefore, as dearly loved children, and live a life of love. And there's that phrase again. Look at it. Just as Christ loved us. How are we supposed to love? The same way that Christ loved us and gave himself up for us as a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. You see, bringing it to God and laying it down frees you. Because you're not carrying it around, you're not thinking about it, you're not mulling over it. You surrender it so that God can now use you as a vessel to love, a vessel to speak, a vessel to show compassion. Because now he's filling your heart with his love, and it's not filled up with that hate and that resentment and that bitterness that's been choking the life out of you. Let me close with one passage that I've been thinking a lot about, right? Because it's like what we call the love passage. And everybody says, oh, you know, so beautiful what Paul, but it wasn't about the beauty, it was about the truth. Because he wanted people to understand that we are called as believers to walk in love. And this church was hostile, and they were arguing, and they were fighting over a bunch of stuff because they were caught in their sin. And so Paul says, love is patient and love is kind. It does not envy, it does not boast, it is not proud, it is not rude, it is not self-seeking. It is not easily angered. Well, how can love not be easily angered? Well, because it walks in unforgiveness. I mean, it walks in forgiveness. If you're truly walking in forgiveness, you won't be easily angered because you have a clean slate. But when you hold on to stuff and you stuff stuff, you are easily angered. Anybody here ever realize that you can be driving down the road? People talk about road rage, but it's not really road rage. It's an opportunity for all that stuffed emotion just to come out. You're driving down the road, and all of a sudden, I mean, you watch the news. People stab each other, shoot each other over road rage. This guy cut in front of me, and the other guy pulls up at the store and shoots him. I remember on Bears over here, some lady got out and stabbed another lady. It's not the road rage. It's the years of stuffing, of stuffing, of stuffing. And then all of a sudden something happens. And that cup is completely full. You have this emotional cup that is filled up. And man, that was it. That was the straw that broke the camel's back. And boom, it comes out. You come out of that car and you are aggressive and you're armed and it's dangerous. But it's the same way when you don't deal with your emotions and all of a sudden one of your kids drops the milk and you're ready to kill your kid over spilling the milk, which is an accident. They didn't do it on purpose. But all that anger, all that emotion that has been stuffed down is ready to come out. There's no love there, because there can't be love when your emotions are stuffed and stuffed and stuffed. See, you have to be free emotionally to walk in love. And so he says, love is not easily angered. Why? Because it's like Christ. It walks in forgiveness. So that when somebody offends you, you forgive, you lay it down, you move forward. Somebody offends you, you forgive, you lay it down, you move forward. You're not holding on to it. You're not remembering all the things they did to you or said to you. You're not playing that tape over and over. You refuse by taking your thoughts captive, surrendering them to the Lord, and walking in newness of life. Focusing on his word, meditating on his person and his character. That's why he ties these together. Love is not easily angered, and it keeps no records of wrong. Because when you're angry, you're thinking about everything everybody's done to you. or at least that person who's hurt you. You're running through the list. Well, they did this. They said that. They did that. And you're just going through and you're going through, and that's unhealthy for you. And it could be unhealthy for the people around you. So my desire for you and for me is that we'll learn to be like Jesus, healthy emotionally and spiritually, really walking in forgiveness. I want you to watch this video. That's faith. That's what it means to walk with Jesus. It's about surrendering your will, surrendering your rights, your own desires, and saying, Lord, I love you. I'm yours in all things. When you live like that, the world sees Jesus. And that's the goal. That's why we're here. That's why he saved us. Not so that we can carry our own pain or carry our own tragedies, walk around with unforgiveness or bitterness in our heart. So I don't know who's offended you or who's hurt you or what you're holding on to, but I want to pray for you. I want to pray that right now that you would lay it down. Do an inventory when you get home. Think about all the people that have hurt you in your life and who you need to let go of. Whatever you need to lay down and say, God, man, I've been holding on to this for 10 years, 20 years. What they said to me or what they did to me, I don't want to think about it anymore. I don't want to hold on to it. I want it to be gone. So help me to heal. Help me to surrender it. Help me to find purpose. Purpose in you, Jesus. You pray with me. Lord, we come to you this morning. God, we are broken people who hold on to our pain and our suffering. And we don't want to do that anymore, God. We want to surrender it. We want to lay it at your feet. We want you to be glorified and exalted in us, that the world might see you. And I know, God, that will never happen for any of us until we learn to walk in forgiveness. God, help us to forgive just as you forgave us in Christ, Lord. Help us to lay it down and let it go and walk in your love, that the world might see Jesus in us. For your glory, God, and for your honor. In Jesus' name, amen. I want to thank you for getting up after losing an hour of sleep and making it to church this morning. And I hope that this message will resonate in your heart and that whatever you're holding on to, you will let go of and lay it down.
Thank you for listening. For more information, visit us at nwcc777.com.